How many people do you think there are that every day doubt whether their father is their father? Who get up in the morning and say, I wonder if my dad's my dad. Now, there may be some for some rare reasons, but it is very rare. The vast majority of people, it doesn't give them a second thought because it's not a question to them. Very few people doubt if their earthly father is their earthly father. How many people or how many Christians do you think they'll get up every day with a question in their mind, is my heavenly father really my heavenly father? That's a lot more common. That a Christian can live for days, weeks, months, even years with that terrible doubt. Is God my father? Am I a child of God? And in some ways it's understandable. For example, there might be someone who looks at their lives and sees so much sin and says, well, how can I be a child of God when I sin so much? Or maybe you look at your life and you see a lot of suffering. And again, you wonder, how can I be a child of God if I suffer so much? Or maybe it's just very subjective. You just hardly ever get the feeling, I am a child of God and God loves me. Or perhaps, again, understandably, you just think, well, I don't deserve to be a child of God, so how can I be a child of God? So there are some understandable reasons for lack of assurance. But we have to also see how serious this is in terms of the consequences. It's not a small thing to lack assurance. There are consequences for the outward expression of our faith. If I doubt I'm a child of God, that's going to affect the way I express my faith. It's going to affect the way I pray. It's going to affect my witness. It's going to affect my worship. And it's going to affect my service. And in all of these areas, it will diminish our prayer, our witness, our worship, our service, and it will certainly diminish our joy in it. But there are also consequences for the inward experience of our faith. If we question, am I a child of God? Is God my heavenly father? Then that's again going to shrink the sense of love we have for God, our sense of joy in God, our sense of hope of being with God forever in heaven. So there's a lot of serious consequences to this spiritual problem. And therefore, we want to try and find a solution to that. We want to ask this question, how can I get more assurance that I am a child of God? And there are some Christians who are just 100% assured 100% of the time. That's wonderful. But a lot of us, we fluctuate or we go through dips. And therefore, for most of us, we want to try and get an answer to this question. How can I grow? How can I increase my assurance, my confidence that I am a child of God? And thankfully, God gives us helps. And we're going to look at them today, at least one of them, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, which says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. There are actually three helps to assurance in the verses here. For example, in chapter 8, 14, it speaks of being led by the Spirit of God, helps us know we are children of God. And in verse 16, the Spirit's witness direct to our spirit that we are children of God. But today we want to focus on verse 15, which is the spirit of adoption, enabling us to cry, Abba, Father. So how can we increase the number of times we say that and the sincerity and the joy of saying that, Abba, Father? Well, we first of all have to face the problem, which is the spirit of slavery makes us afraid. The spirit of slavery makes us afraid. And here the apostle speaks to the Roman Christians and says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. And what he's telling us here is that before we were Christians, we were slaves. In what way were we slaves? Well, there are usually two ways of thinking about spiritual slavery. And the first is of thinking of God as our slave master. Probably the most common way unbelievers think about God. If you can remember a period in your life when you were not a believer, probably this was how you thought of God, that he's some despotic tyrant, a slave master who wants to bind you and imprison you, who wants to destroy your humanity, to degrade you, and to make you live a life under his tyrannical domination. And so you think of God continually as a more powerful being, like a judge-like figure who's just always out to ruin your life, to take away all the pleasure of life, and to make you an unwilling subject of him. That's often the experience of the unbeliever. But when the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives, there's another spirit of slavery that begins to arise in us. We're told that when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, that he comes as a spirit of conviction. He convicts us of sin. And so when the Holy Spirit begins to work in our life, we begin to realize, wow, it's not God who's my slave master. It's sin that's my slave master. It's not God that's trying to ruin my life and bring me under his cruel domination. It's sin that is doing that. It's my habits, my constant practices, my addictions. They are my slave master. And if you're in that spiritual experience, it's actually a good sign. If you're moving away from God is my slave master to sin is my slave master, then that's progress. That's spiritual advancing. It's an indication that the Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is at work in you. But if there's one characteristic of slaves, it's fear, isn't it? And that's what the apostle says here. He says, you've not received the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. So if we think of thinking of God as a slave master, we're afraid of God. We're terrified of him. It's like a slave who's continually thinking, how can I get away from my slave master's eyes and influence? How can I make sure that he's not going to see my mistakes and my fails and come and punish me and destroy me? How can I keep distance between myself and God? And it's a fearful, trembling existence because we know how hard, if not impossible, this is. Or when we move from that to sin as my slave master, again, there's fear because we begin to realize sin is destroying me. Sin's out to crush me. Sin isn't my friend. And no matter how much we try and throw off its shackles and its power, yet it's far more powerful than us. And it has us under its sway, and we feel that you just can't escape. So when we are slaves, We are scared. The spirit of slavery makes us scared. And if this is true, then if this is true of you, that you're still a slave in that sense, then you are not free. You're not free. You're under the domination of either a false view of God or a right view of sin. And it's not a pleasant experience. And it makes you afraid, doesn't it? It's not a great way to live. You can put on a brave face, but in your quiet moments, you know, I am not free. I'm scared. At least scared of my end. And here's the puzzling thing about this. The child of God can fall back into the spirit of slavery and the spirit of fear. That's what the apostle is addressing here. He's saying you didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. So yes, the unbeliever feels God is my slave master. The unbeliever on the way to faith says sin is my slave master. But the Christian, the child of God, can also get to that point, can fall back for various reasons and get a false view of God and become really scared and terrified of God again and begin to see sin as the most powerful force in their life. And that's a horrible existence too, isn't it? God's special sons can act like scared slaves. If you search the internet and you look up slavery, you'll see pictures of slaves. Even modern-day slaves, this isn't something from 150 or so years ago in the U.S., but there's still slaves around the world, more than ever before. And look at their faces, and you'll see the fear, the terror in their eyes. And you look at them, and of course, no one says, oh, I'd love to be a slave. No, it's a horrible existence. And yet, this is how we are as unbelievers, and this is how we can even become, for a time, as believers. And so we want to ask, how do we get free of this? How do we get assurance? How do we escape the spirit of slavery and the spirit of fear? And that's what the apostle introduces us to here, because he says the spirit of sonship makes us assured. Remember, speaking of sonship, it does include daughterhood, if that's a word. It's speaking of all men and women, boys and girls, who can be children of God. And Paul says here, you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. This is a beautiful phrase, the spirit of adoption, the spirit of sonship, the spirit of a daughter. What a change to the spirit of slavery. How do we go from the spirit of slavery to the spirit of being a son? Again, if you took a photo of a slave holding and the accommodation that they live in, and then you took the camera and you filmed the family home and the sons and daughters who are living there, you see two completely different human experiences. They couldn't be more different. And this is what the apostle is holding out as a prospect for every believer. You can leave the slaveholding behind, and you can enjoy being a son or a daughter in the family and the household of God. The spirit of sonship. How does this happen? Well, God's Son alone can make us sons and daughters. You can read about that in your extra time today, John 1, 12 through 14. And basically, if I want to go from the slave house to the Father's house, there's only one way, and that is through Jesus. Jesus takes us as slaves, enslaved to God as a judge, enslaved to sin as a tyrant, and as mediator, as the go-between, as the channel, he takes us and introduces us to God as Father. So the only way from over there to over here, from slavery to sonship, is through Jesus. And it's Jesus who can change our whole view of God, from God as judge, just waiting to destroy us, to God as Father, waiting to embrace us. This is how we get the spirit of sonship. And it's not just we move from slave to free. That would be good. But we move from slave to son. It's not like somebody comes and just opens the prison of all these hostage slaves and sets them free. No. He actually comes, sets free, and brings them into the Father's house and family. This is the spirit of sonship. J.I. Packer calls this spirit of adoption, this sense, this assurance, this confidence that I'm a child of God. He calls it the highest privilege of the gospel. Lots of gospel privileges, like forgiveness, like being justified, being right with God, like being redeemed, bought with a price, lots of things, but the highest privilege is adoption as the sons and daughters of God. This is how he puts it. In adoption, God takes us into his family and fellowship. He establishes us as his children and heirs. Closeness, affection, and generosity are at the heart of the relationship. To be right with God as a judge is a great thing, but to be loved and cared for by the Father is greater. You get that, don't you? It's the difference, really, between a child who is adopted and sees their certificate of adoption and says, well, legally, objectively, factually, I am a child of this family. But the family want the child to have far more than just that legal piece of paper, just that objective, factual reality. They want them to feel a part of the family. They want them to feel full sons and daughters. And that takes time sometimes, proof, evidence, experience. But here, every believer, as soon as they believe, are given the spirit of sonship. Imagine if you could do that for an adopted child. As soon as you take them in, that you can actually put in their hearts this constant spirit of I am a real full child in this family. You'd love to do it, wouldn't you? But we can't. But God can. For every one of his children. And he does. He gives this spirit of sonship. This spirit that comes into our lives and reveals our sonship to us, our sense of being sons and daughters. He ratifies it, confirms it, and he keeps repeating it. It's not a once and done, it's constant. It's nothing less than being brought into Christ's experience of sonship to his Father. That's how it's compared in Scripture. You look at Christ's experience of sonship, he continually spoke to his Father as Abba, Father. And here, Paul tells us, the Holy Spirit's one of his great jobs is to be that same Spirit in you. To give you that same Spirit Christ had while on earth in his human nature. That's such confidence in God as his Father. And therefore, it's not just a duty, it's a delight. It's God delights in us, and we delight in and depend on our Heavenly Father. We have the spirit of sonship. And therefore, he says, we have the spirit of freedom. You have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. If slavery means fear, then sonship means freedom. Freedom from torment, questioning, doubting. Freedom from formalism. Freedom from uncertainty. Freedom from distrust. And freedom to spontaneity, authenticity, friendship, fellowship, love, care, that cannot but produce from the heart, Abba, Father. And that's not a sort of sentimental chumminess. Maybe you can think of it as this: it's an affectionate, respectful confidence. An affectionate, respectful confidence. It's not like the way you treat your brother or your sister. You see kids playing and they'll pick up their Nerf guns and they'll just fire away at their siblings. Doesn't matter what the siblings say. And sometimes dad will get involved maybe and play some games. But then dad's got a line that says, hold on, enough. You don't just sneak up on me and blast me with the Nerf gun. You can do that to your sibling. Well, maybe not, but definitely not your dad. There's a different relationship. There's an affection. There's a closeness. There's a care. There's a trust. There's a confidence, but there's also a respect. An affectionate, respectful confidence. That's what's involved in Abba, Father. And notice the word cry. It's by which we cry. That's not a whimper or a whisper. The word is actually for an earnest, loud cry. It's used in different places for the response of a child when the child is blessed. The child receives something big. It's like you take your child to Walmart to get something and they know you never buy them anything, but they say, can we look at the toys anyway, Dad, Mom? So you go to the toys, and you're not going to buy, but then you succumb. And they know they won again. And how do they respond when you're on the way to the cashier? It's, oh, thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Dad. Thank you so much, Mom. And it's that kind of joyful, full, free, spontaneous, authentic, deep joy. But it's also the cry that's used of an injured child, a child who is sick, a child who is in pain. And again, it's inviting us, when we're going through times of suffering and trial and difficulty, to freely cry out, my Father, my Father. I remember reading a story about a Christian who was in a fellowship. Their husband, the lady's husband, was serving as a soldier in the Vietnam War. And word came on the phone when she was there that her husband had been lost, killed in action. And she put the phone down, she left the room, she went upstairs to her bedroom, and everyone knew from the phone call what had happened. Minutes passed, half an hour passed, and everyone downstairs is wondering, what will we do? Will we interrupt? Will we go and see how she's doing? So eventually somebody went up the stairs and on the landing just outside the bedroom door, hesitated and waited and listened, and all they could hear over and over and over again was, oh Father, oh Father, oh my Father, oh Father, oh Father, oh my Father. This was a Christian lady who had frequently been enveloped by her father's arms, and for whom it's just such a natural instinct to return there and to receive there in these simple words that even a child could utter, that true sense, my Father, oh my Father. So if you are a child of God, and you have this spirit of sonship, being a son or daughter of God, you should really see how much you're loved. That God puts this spirit within you. He doesn't just give you a legal document, a verse to believe. He gives you a spirit to feel and to express in good times and bad. He's given you the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. As someone who has a late child, we often get asked the question, was it a surprise? Our answer is usually not to God. No one ever asks an adopted parent, an adopting parent, was this a surprise? No. Adoption is a very deliberate act. It takes a ton of time and commitment and money and process so that no adopted child should ever have any question as to whether they were wanted, desired, delighted in. And that's what God is saying to his children today. I don't want you to doubt this. I want you to know this, and I want you to express this. I mean, what earthly father gets up every morning and says, well, I'm going to make sure my children doubt that I'm their dad today? No one. No one. Surely. Well, neither does God look at his children and think, I wonder how he can make them doubt me. Just keep them, you know, on that knife edge. Am I? No. He wants you to know, believer. He wants you to be confident. He gives you the spirit of adoption. And if you lack it, we're given an amazing promise by Jesus. He says, just as no son who asks for bread will be given a snake by his father, so no one who asks for the Holy Spirit will be refused it. If you lack this, we ask for it. We plead for it. Give me more. Give me more. So see how much you're loved and feel free to cry, Abba, Father, just like that. Well, it's probably a mom cry. Thank you for the illustration. But that is how we should cry at times. Just unabashed, unashamed. Doesn't matter who hears, doesn't matter who's interrupted. Be that child of God who just loves to cry out with all our lungs, Abba, Father. And when we get confident about who our Father is, we get confident about who we are. God's adoption is from love, by love, and for love. The spirit of sonship makes us assured. This is a sermon to give confidence to Christians. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer in this way, if God is still to you a slave master or sin is your slave master, this is an invitation. Or we might say an appeal. Yeah, more than an invitation. It's an appeal. It's a longing to bring you in from me, from every Christian here, but above all from God. He's calling you. He's pleading with you. He's appealing to you. Come on into the family. Come and enjoy all the privileges of the sons and daughters of God. Why live any more as a slave? Why live any more in fear when you can come into sonship with full confidence? And you can cry with the best Christian in the world equally, Abba, Father. So this is gospel adoption. And it doesn't matter how you feel, and it doesn't matter what you think you've deserved, and it actually doesn't matter how much you've suffered or even sinned, your adoption is constant. Your adoption is constant, so let your confidence be constant. And it's practical. This will change the outward expression of your faith. It will increase prayer. It will increase witness. It will increase worship. And it'll increase service. And it will increase the inward experience of your faith. More love, more joy, more hope. So how can I get more assurance that I'm a child of God? Believe your sonship by the Spirit to cry with confidence to God, your Father. There's some beautiful songs. There's the one, No Longer Slaves. You can look that up on YouTube. Zach, somebody sings that. I can't remember his second name. Williams, Zach Williams. This is how he puts it. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. I'm surrounded by songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. We're the sons and the daughters. Let us sing our freedom. Let's sing our freedom. We'll get a chance to do that in a moment. There's a well-known song, Who You Say I Am. You can look that up. But I found this song by Casting Crowns called So Far to Find You. And it's actually a song written by the lead singer about their adopting of a young Chinese girl. And the words are about that adoption, but as you hear it, you're really hearing about God's adoption of us. Some of the words are these: you were broken, abandoned, and crying all alone. We were waiting and praying and longing to bring you home. And then we saw your face. In a moment, you were wrapped in our hearts. We took a step of faith, and now here we are. Will you let me hold you in my arms tonight? I have come so far to find you. Will you take my love and give up the fight? I have come so far to find you. From heaven's throne down to a rugged cross I came. It was my love for you that brought me all the way so far to find you. So far to find you. You were broken, abandoned, and crying all alone. And I've come so far to find you. What greater confidence can we have if these words are true of you? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, give us, we pray, that spirit of adoption. We thank you for your full adoption of us into your family. Give us that spirit of adoption so that we can cry to you as confident children. In Jesus' name, amen.